So I want you to turn to somebody and tell them, I have chosen the best part. I have chosen the best part. Yes, I have chosen the best part. Yeah. Who you desire to be is who you decide to be. Something about that is just ringing in my spirit and my soul because it lets me know I'm not a victim, I have a choice. I don't have to succumb to the circumstances of life, I can choose. I may not choose that particular situation, but I have a choice as to how I'm going to handle it, react to it, be in the midst of it. I can choose that. It's very powerful. Over these last few weeks, I've been talking a lot about being in divine balance, of bringing our lives, our life and our affairs into harmony and synchronicity so that we are in the midst of a divine flow, and that with understanding divine balance, that there's never just a static position to life, but that life is always what? Moving. There's an in and an out and an up and a down and flow. And that really, if we can allow ourselves to move with the flow of life without this resistance, we are better able to experience the goodness of life. If we recognize that there's never a static place that we can reach, never a position of total peace, that means we're never moving, but we're in that sacred flow. I've talked about how we move through this experience or this thing that we call life, but that sometimes we move through certain stages. That we move from a place of comfort that we want to stay in, this comfort zone. We want to stay in this place where we think everything is working out perfectly. Don't change a thing. This is it. I want to be here. I'm comfortable. It's familiar. And I talked about how in our evolutionary expression, we were not meant to stay at any one level of life. That the call of our spirit and our being means that we should evolve. We must change. We must grow. We must evolve, become greater, more different. And so that we're in this comfort zone, when we're in that zone, that the universe at some point is going to what? Move us out. We can do it consciously, and we can do it freely through choice, or we can do it kicking and screaming. But that the next zone that we usually move into when we're moving out of the comfort zone is we move into the fear zone. This is fear of the unknown because this was what we knew, and now I don't know this new experience. I haven't had this yet. And so there's this human tendency to experience a sense of fear. Fear that can, if we allow it, can stop us in our tracks, and we try to hold on and maybe wade through, but eventually that too must give way, and that life as it begins to happen and unfold, we move from that place, that zone of fear, into the next zone, which is the zone of learning, because the one way to help you to move out of fear is to become familiar with the thing you are afraid of, to move from the unknown into the known through what? Through experience, through learning. And so as we begin then to open up in this zone, from the fear zone into the learning zone, we begin to practice through trial and error. Oh, this is what this experience yields. And we begin to experience our dreams. And all of a sudden, from this learning zone of taking things in and trying things on and experiencing things and gaining a little bit of understanding and a little bit of wisdom, we move into the fourth zone, which is growth. That all of a sudden now we've got that. I've reached a particular goal. I've accomplished certain things. I've learned enough that now I've moved myself into another level. I've grown a bit. And so from this place of growing and from knowing, we love it. But then if we're not conscious, we slip back into what? Being comfortable. Once again, because now I know this realm. I know this experience. And we move into the comfort zone again, and the desire to want to stay there, to rest on our laurels, to rest on our understanding, to feel that we have now reached the final pinnacle of our life's lessons, I got this lesson. I mastered this. I'm good. And then all of a sudden, because evolution is our nature, it is the natural impulse of our being to evolve. And so we are then once again pushed, moved, and must release ourselves from the comfort zone into that fear zone once again. And then the process continues. I shared about helping us to access a divine inner power that can enable us to move through life and to move through these zones and to move through our desires without getting limited or being limited. And that I said we must tap into our innate power of will, divine will. That there are 12 powers, but the power of divine will is the power that enables us to execute our desires and our intentions. It's the power that enables us to carry out whatever thoughts and dreams and visions we have, because if we don't move them, they remain what? Stuck in our being, just an idea, just an experience. They don't move into the manifest realm as a reality for us. And that it is our power of will that we activate and that moves us out into accomplishment, into doing, into actually demonstrating. As truth students, we used to say, you got to demonstrate the truth, which means bring it into manifestation. Otherwise, it's just a theory. Otherwise, we're just sitting here and we're being talking heads, right? But we have no proof. We're not showing anything. There's no transformation. There's no change. It's just talk and rhetoric. And so we use the activating the power of divine will to move us so that while I'm alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic, I will do. I will do. I will be. I will have. Even though this quote I heard from Bruce Lee, he said, willing is not enough, we must do. And then he said, doing is not enough, we must be. But if you can't get to the being, you got to at least be willing. Sometimes start with the willingness, the will to be, and the will to do. Yes, doing is secondary to being, but sometimes we have forgotten how to be. I want to be love. Sometimes you have to will yourself to be love. Have you ever had to do that? Love exists as a divine potential and power within you. But then when this so-and-so comes along, you're going to have to exercise that ability to love, to be willing. So we talked about how this design of these 12 powers helps us to move. And all of these things that I've talked about, whether it's being in the flow, being in balance, looking at the fear, the zones and the fears and how do we activate, all of those messages were stemming from this notion of how we, on occasion, we get stuck in our old patterns. And remember, the movement of life and the force of life is to what? Evolve. Right? It is to move. It is to grow. It is to change, to expand. The universe is ever expanding. And so when we try to hold that back or we find some kind of resistance to expansion and transformation and change and growth, we cause more suffering for ourselves. And so I was talking about how we have a tendency to get stuck in our old patterns of thought, stuck in our fears or stuck in our heads or maybe even stuck in our hearts from an unhealthy place. And I was thinking that there's probably not one person here who does not really want to live life consciousness, a state of freedom, that wants to live life from a state of joy, a state of peace, or a state of connection. Is there anybody here who does not want to live life from that level? Right. We all want to, right? No one wants to, would probably want to live a life devoid of problems. Isn't that appealing? I'm like, yeah, man, I would love to live a life devoid of problems. And what if I tell you that that is possible? What if I tell you that it is possible to live without problems? You'd probably tell me I'm a little bit out of my mind. I'm a little bit crazy, because you might say that there will always be problems. There'll always be challenges or something to work through on some level of being, because that's a part of life. But I would say, well, what if I were to tell you that problems are merely situations for which we have yet to find a solution? Right? That a problem is simply a situation for which we have yet to find what? A solution. That there really are no problems. There are situations that are seeking solutions. Now, this is really powerful, because if you begin to look for solutions, you are more apt to find them, right? But if you're focused on problems or the problems you may have, you're more likely to get stuck in the problem. You're more likely to be overwhelmed by the problem or get caught up in the problem. And the solutions fall by the wayside, right? Because, see, the problem is the perception, not the problem. It's the perception that causes us to feel we have problems. And so if you stop looking at your problems, because this is even what quantum physics says, whatever we look at, whatever we observe, whatever we place our attention to, that is what begins to activate and becomes present. So if you're looking at your problems, what you're doing is creating more opportunities for your problems to present themselves. Start looking for solutions, because a problem is just a situation. It's a situation for which you have yet to find the solution. But if you approach it, what is the solution I'm looking for here? What is the solution I need at this moment? Not what is the problem here. What is the solution here? And as metaphysicians, we can train ourselves to begin to look for solutions. Not problems, but solutions. And I believe that there is a solution for every seeming problem. We just need a sharper way to find them, to access them. So spiritually speaking, I would say this. I would say that the answers are within. And you know how I get to say the answers to your solution, to your situations, are within? Is because Jesus said this. He said that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, was where? Within you. So if the kingdom of God is within me, that means that the omnipresence essence of God, the everywhere presence of God, is within me. The omniscience of God, and God as omniscience means that is the all-knowing aspect and presence of God, must be also where? Within me. The presence of God, the omnipresence, is within me. The omniscience is within me. And even the omnipotence of God, which is what the all-powerful, all-pervading presence of God, must also be where? Within me. So if the answers are within, if God is within me, then the answers I seek are within me. I just need to open up a way, as my minister Eric Butterworth used to say, from whence the imprisoned splendor may be released. So my task is to what? Is to release the magnificence of the divine, to release the omnipresent wisdom, the all-knowing presence, release it within, to release the power of God from within me, to release the presence and activity and beingness of God from within me. That's powerful. And that only happens when we understand our divine connection, that we are not separate and apart, but one with the divine. I am one with God. So there are no problems. There are merely situations for which I have yet to find a solution. And their solutions to every situation are contained within. The answers are within me. Because there's another thought that says, there's nothing new. I've talked about that. There's nothing new under the heavens. That everything, so here we would say, this is how we would say it, that everything is involved, I-N-V-O-L-V-E-D, everything is involved in the presence and power of God. And what is it, meaning it's already created, it's there. And what is involved in God is evolved through man. You understand? So we don't have to, you don't have to create, and you don't have the power to create divine ideas. They're already created. And they are created by the divine. You don't create the idea of divine love, but divine love created by God exists within you that you what? Evolve it into your experiences, into your expression. You express it, you press it out into being. But it lies within you already. So we have a work to do, and it's a powerful work. When we understand how the universe works, how God works, and how we work as well. And so we want to begin to look for those solutions, to be able to tap that inner resource and reservoir of God's presence as omniscience, or knowing, or wisdom, or power, or love, or light into our being. Because the answers are within. Now, when I say that the answers are within, I don't mean that we have to go about trying to think something up. That we don't have to go about trying to conjure up some great scheme of how we can figure this out. All right? I'm not talking about that, because usually it's our stinking thinking that gets in the way in the first place. So when I say the answers are within, I'm not talking about sitting down. Now let me say, how can I think about this? And I should think about this answer, I should think about that or whatever. And before you know, you're not thinking about the solution, you're on the problem. The thoughts are taking you into the what ifs and the how comes and the maybe nots, and you're all off track. What I'm talking about is letting wisdom, the omniscience of God, as the all-knowing presence within you, to let that wisdom simply rise from within. Because the wisdom is already created. It is of God. It's not coming from what? Your mind. It's coming from the wisdom of God that resides within your being. So I'm talking about letting this wisdom rise from within, and even better, to let it arise from your heart as opposed to your head. Because when we get caught in the head is when we get subject to start making up stuff and conjuring up and thinking and figuring and all of that. That there's actually a wisdom that is contained within the heart. From the heart of God, we let love come forth. From the heart, from the divine wisdom of God within, we let these things arise within us. Because the wisdom that comes from the heart is purer than the intelligence that comes from the head or the mind. It's not that we don't need our minds. We need it when we're trying to access intelligence and we're reading and studying and learning and growing. That's quite different than wisdom that is present, that arises. It's divine wisdom. It is a divine knowing. It is not us thinking it up, but letting it come. And letting it come, not from the head, but from where? The heart. Now, there's a group in California, you may have heard of it, is called HeartMath. And they are a research group. They've done some pretty solid research on the power of the heart. And they've done some research on the wisdom that is contained within the heart. And what they base their premise on is the heart's ability to create what they call a resonance field. A resonance. And when something's resonating, it's resonating in what? Usually in what? Harmony. There's a vibration to it. You know about resonance, right? When there's a resonance in your voice, it's deep, it's full, it's connected. You can't have resonance if you're connected. Your voice is not connected to the body, to the mind, to the heart, and the soul. So the heart has the ability to create a resonance field, a vibration. And it creates a resonance field that brings every other system of the body into alignment with this field, this resonance field. And it brings it within our consciousness. And it helps things to sort of line up. Because we know that we're what? We are spirit, soul, and what? Body. Spirit, soul, and body. And usually, when one of those is kind of out of alignment, everything is out of alignment, right? It's like when your feet hurt, everything hurts. When your tooth hurts, everything hurts, right? So they said that the heart has the ability to bring every other system of our being and our consciousness into alignment and into balance so that actually this field of resonance begins to create a sense of inner peace and inner harmony because it's resonating. Peace and harmony, in alignment, spirit, soul, and body all working together at the highest level. And so we know that this connection between spirit, soul, body, spirit, mind, body is very important. Because we understand that stress in our mind can produce limiting effects where? Huh? Did I hear it? In the body, yes. I just want to see if you all are awake. Yes, so stress in the mind, and science and doctor, everybody has proved too much stress in the mind can produce what? Limiting effects in the body. We also know that limitations of the body or imbalances within the body can affect what? The mind, right? If you have a chemical imbalance, that will affect how your mind is working. There is a connection between spirit, soul, and body. And when those other things are not working, whether there's an imbalance in your mind, an imbalance in your body, it can also affect your spirit. Now, it doesn't affect your spirit to the point where it can do anything and damage your spirit, because your spirit is your spirit. It's infallible. However, our awareness of our connection to being a spiritual being can be damaged or limiting. So that we don't even get to the spirit. If we're off in the mind and in the body, usually we don't get to the spirit. And so it would seem to reason that we would want to find a way that keeps all three of those in balance for our own sense of well-being and our own sense of spiritual expression and power. So this practice, we want to have a practice so that we don't feel separate. We can't be separate from God, but we can certainly feel separate from God in our minds, in our emotions, right? We can feel separate from the body when it's aching and not working right. So having a practice that can help bring us back into alignment feels very appealing to me. And what I'm finding is that with this heart math technique is that there's an extra added bonus because the best part is that we can not only bring everything into resonance and into alignment, but we can also access the wisdom of the heart. That we can also get clearer guidance and purer answers to our questions and our seeking from the heart as opposed to the mind. Because in the mind, we have all the thoughts about what's happening in the world and who said what and what's on the news, blah, 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 blah. And all the error. See, error consciousness is out here, right? Pure consciousness is within. And when we access the wisdom of the heart, you are tapping into a pure vibration and connection to the divine. So that means we can actually begin to then live a more stress-free life. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a stress-free life right about now. I really am. And I'm looking for ways in which I could do that. Now, we know that prayer and meditation are our main staple, right? I'm always telling you to do what? Pray and meditate. Pray and meditate. And that is true. Meditation also has been proven to create a wonderful resonant field within the body. But why not add another tool to your toolkit? And this practice is one that can be done in 3 to 5 minutes. And in 3 to 5 minutes, it can shift your vibration. It can move you out of a lower vibration, lower feelings, lower thoughts, whatever, into a higher, pure vibration. It can also help you get wisdom or answers to questions that you may have. And it's quite simple process. Do you want to practice this one? Okay. So let me tell you how the process works a little bit, so we'll do it. It's very simple. We're going to have to begin with the premise. Here's the premise they begin with at HeartMath. That feelings of gratitude, of appreciation, of joy, of love, those kinds of feelings, and they're relating to them as feelings and not thoughts and not concepts, but feelings, a feeling of gratitude, a feeling of praise, a feeling of love, a feeling of appreciation, that those feelings actually raise our vibrations and they activate the heart's vibrational field. Now, the heart is the strongest organ of the body. We place a lot of energy on the brain and the mind. You know, there's a lot of research going on in the brain, and that's good. The brain has an important part. But the strongest organ is not the brain. It is the heart, right? Because you can be brain dead and still be what? Alive, right? But when the heart goes, that's it. You gone. On to your next high level of living. So the heart carries the strongest vibration. It is the strongest organ. Now, what they say is we have these qualities of being able to feel these vibrations and thoughts that have a vibration. Love carries a vibration. Joy carries a vibration. Praise carries a vibration, right? Because you can't be, you know, oh, I praise God and you're feeling that. It's impossible, right? So, but set aside those feelings. And what they say is they also use this process of entrainment. Now, entrainment simply means that which carries the highest vibration has the ability to pull up that which is a lower vibration within the organism or around us or whatever. So the premise is that which is carries a higher vibration has the ability to pull up a lower vibration to match the highest vibration. That process is called entrainment. And so an example would be, and they've done this experiment, you take a room full of grandfather clocks with a pendulum, you know those big clocks that have a pendulum, and you put them all in a room, and you start each clock swinging at a different rate, right? So the whole room, they're swinging, but they're all swinging at different rates and vibrations. And they've noticed when they come back within, let's say, an hour's time, every single clock is moving in unison. And it is doing so through the process of vibration, meaning the clock that had the highest and strongest vibration pulled every other clock into its rhythm. Okay? Now, that's what entrainment is called. It's a scientific process that happens. So if the heart is the strongest organ in the body, and it is vibrating at a certain level, it has the ability to do what? Pull everything else to match its vibration. It's the same thing how a tuning fork is used. When they use a tuning fork, is it the vibration of that fork that helps to bring that key into alignment? Right? Yes. So I just wanted to make sure. I thought I'd ask an aficionado. But it's the same thing, because they hit a note and listen and sometimes they hit the fork, and because that vibration will cause that key to come into its what? Perfect alignment and balance and pitch and tone and all of that. And so if the heart then, we have a built-in mechanism, an organ in the body, spiritually, metaphysically, psychologically, I mean, the heart plays such a powerful role. And it carries such a strong vibration. And if we could then tap into and direct the vibration of the heart to begin to function through high vibrations of appreciation, thoughts like this, feelings of appreciation and love and joy, right? that what they say is, when you place your feeling level on those concepts, your heart begins to resonate and at a higher rate, and it then lifts up. So if you're ill, this is what Norman Cousins did to, you know, kind of help bring a healing of his cancer, because he laughed. He brought joy into his physical being. You all remember Norman Cousins, who healed himself of cancer through laughter? He locked himself in rooms for months, and he just looked at comedies, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he laughed, and he healed himself. Because the joy, the vibration of appreciation, life, and gratitude, all that begins to entrain and brings heart, mind, body, soul into alignment. It's a powerful tool. One that we don't use as a tool or use as a discipline, but we can. So here's how the process. Now, I want you to understand the first premise is we have to learn that we have to feel the vibration of what we want to feel. We can't think it. We've been conditioned to think. And you're going to know when you slip into thinking, because when you're vibing and feeling the vibration, there's a warmth, there's an energy, there's an aliveness that you will feel in your body. But when you shift up to the head, there's a coolness. And all of a sudden, thoughts come and off you go. So the object is, you must feel the vibration of that which we want. Okay? And to help you with this, sometimes, because we have a spiritual law that says whatever is praised increases. I've taught you that law. That's all right. Whatever is praised increases. There's a vibration that increases. Now, because we are so conditioned to thinking, you might think you're feeling, but you're really thinking. You're thinking the thought, you're not feeling it. So conjuring up an image of something that causes you to smile, or to something, an image that causes you to feel appreciation or joy, or it brings, you know, laughter or vibration. So if you can't feel a vibration of a thought like love or joy, whatever, then create an image that you're going to be able to hold. Now, for me, when I do this practice, the image that I like to create, several of them, is of a baby smiling, because I just love when I see a little toothless baby drilling and giggling. It just brings me joy, you know? Or maybe it's an animal. When I see a little puppy that is just so excited to see me and tail is wagging and they're so excited by getting a treat, that brings me joy. Or if I hear children's laughter, it brings me joy. So I find those things kind of work for me, and I can smile. Whatever you want to do, you want to find something that's going to cause you to smile and be able to maintain the feeling. The what? Feeling of joy, appreciation, gladness. Not thinking. So if you've moved to thinking thoughts and you're out of it, you're going to feel the vibration of what it is that you want, because it's the vibration that's going to cause the entrainment and that's going to open up. Now, what we do is you can use this process to even access a question, some wisdom. So what I'm going to ask you, two things. One, I want you to get something that you can feel that brings you joy, that makes you smile. This is even why, you know, when I was over in India, we used to have to do smiling meditations, because you can't smile and be in a place of negativity. So even when we meditate, they would always say, put a gentle smile on your face, because just smiling. Everybody just take a moment and smile. That smile has shifted your vibration in that quick time. So I want you to think of something. You're going to get your image, right, or whatever it is, the baby, whatever it is for you, that's going to help you to generate a feeling, to generate a feeling of what? Of joy, happiness, appreciation, love, vibraciousness, right? That's fun. And then I want you to think of a question that you want to ask, or a question that you need some guidance with, or a direction. You know, what do I need to do to bring more harmony in my relationship with my child? Should I take this new job offer or not? Keep it clear but simple, right? So what, should I take this class or not? Something simple. So you're going to get your question and you're going to get your image. right? Everybody got an image? Okay. And you have a question, take a minute and get yourself your question, because you need to have the question. We are not going to ask the question first. I just want you to have it aside, knowing, because it's important that you have your question so you can ask it immediately when I tell you to. Does everybody have a question, a direction you're seeking, an answer you're seeking, right? Out there? Yes? Okay, thank you. You have your image that you're going to feel. You're going to generate a feeling. You have your image that you want to feel? Okay. So let's just go within. And I'm going to invite you to just begin to breathe a little bit, consciously. And I want you to feel the image that is bringing the vibration of joy. Feel that vibration of love, not a thought. I want you to feel it. If you notice yourself thinking, come back to the heart and try to feel that vibration. See that image that makes you smile. And if you need another image, then create another one that brings joy. And just breathe into this vibration. Feel it in the body, not in your mind. Feel it in the heart, not in the head. And if you can't feel an image, just smile and let your smile bring you into joy. You can let your whole body react to the smile. Raise your vibration to joy. Feel, don't think. Smile. Smile. Feel the joy. Now ask your question. In the midst of the vibration, listen, don't think. Just take a deep breath and come out of your meditation. This is a process they call freeze framing, and it may take a little practice to maintain the feeling nature and vibration, because you want to jump into your head and you want to think, did anything come from anyone? Yes? Okay. So what usually happens, again, you don't start off by asking such complicated questions that you have to have a discourse and a dialogue in your head, because then you're going to move into what? Thinking. So learn to phrase your questions. Well, I won't ask that question. Let me see. again, what can I do? What should I do to relate to my teenager? You might get an answer. The heart might get an answer. Really love him. It might be, listen. It's not going to be a long discourse. It's going to be so quick and so pure and so clear Because all this stuff, where does this come from? This resides in the head. The heart's wisdom is so pure and clear and direct. It's like, yes, it's simple. And as you begin to practice raising your vibrational level of appreciation, praise, thanksgiving, joy, happiness through image, not thoughts, but through feeling, your heart will begin to express more and more wisdom. You'll know what to do. You won't have to come and call me up and say, Reverend, what should I do? What should I do? Because I'm just going to direct you right back into there. Go in. The answer lies where? Within you. And it doesn't lie in your head with all your thinking. It really lies in the wisdom of God that resides in the center of your being, in your heart of hearts. There's a truth there. Because truth is clear. If you've got some convoluted stuff going on, it's not truth. That's you confusing yourself with your thoughts. Get clear with the vibration of the heart. And the more you practice, the more resonance you'll begin to create. And the more resonance of that vibration that you create, the more in alignment becomes your spirit, soul, and body, or your spirit, mind, and body. And the more your spirit, mind, and body is in perfect alignment, the more your life begins to outpicture with grace and ease and flow. You know what's yours to do, and you do it. You draw to you that which is the highest and best because your vibration is high. It's good. It's godlike. And you draw those things to you. It's powerful teaching, very quick. And the Bible says, as a man or a woman thinketh in his or her heart, so is he or she. And how do you think in the heart? I just gave you a hint. How do you think in the heart? You feel. As a man or woman feels in the heart, so is he. And so this is an opportunity for us to begin to maneuver through whatever is taking place. This is a wonderful time. It's our time. And I'm giving you tools to equip us so that we can be these light bearers that can manage the lower vibration that we see in the world, and not only manage this low vibration, but we can affect and change and what? Raise it. This is our task. This is our ability to do. So I'm encouraging you to spend at least 5 minutes a day feeling joy or gratitude, feeling good about anything, because when you can feel good, you are feeling God. And when you feel God, everything else falls into place. So, beloved ones, all I can say is I'm feeling you. I am feeling you with love, 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 and high vibrations of appreciation and gratitude and thanksgiving. May you be blessed and a blessing. Namaste. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings.